Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Be'ah Chav Tes. We begin at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis. So it's Yom Tov, he ran out of meat, he'd like to replenish his supply, he approaches the butcher for some meat. That can be done. You can actually buy things on Yom Tov, provided it's Letzorech Yom Tov, and without discussing pricing. Lo Yemer Odin V'Tabach, one should not address the butcher by saying, Shkoyle Liba Dinar Basar, can you please weigh me a dinar worth of basar? You cannot discuss value or pricing on Yom Tov. You can't do transactions on Yom Tov. Aval Sheikhetu Mechalik Beinayim, however, the butcher can do Shechita and distribute the supply amongst his customers without making reference to pricing. Hechi Ovid, how should he do that? So we learned the other day that the customer can say, look, give me a half of the animal, a third, a quarter, but let's say he doesn't need a half of the animal. So how should he do it without discussing value? Says the Gemara, there were other ways. Kiha, just as we find the Besura in the town of Sura, Amri, they would say as follows. Tarta, let me have a slab called Tarta, or Palgut Tarta, or a half of a slab, Rashi explains. All the butchers in town were familiar with these terms. These were standard-sized portions of the animal. They would cut up the animal into tartas. So you approach the butcher, let me have a tarta. He knows what you mean. So you can avoid referencing value or price. But Narish Amri, in town of Narish, they would employ different terms. A portion of meat was called chalka. A half of it, upalgu chalka. Bipombadisa Amri, over there they use the term uzia, upalgu uzia. Benar Pekoid, Ubimatamachasi Amri, in those towns they said river, upalgu river. So you can approach the butcher, let me have a river, and he knows what you mean. They would split the animals into these rivers. You need a river portion or a half of it, so you can get what you need without discussing price. Continues the Mishnah. You approach your local grocer on Yom Tov, and you can say, let me have some oil. Male li kli ze. Can you please fill this kli with oil? Avaloi b'mida, provided it's not a measuring cup, because you may not measure on Yom Tov. It looks like you're engaged in transaction, business, so you can't go ahead and fill a mida, a measuring cup. If it was a measuring cup, you can't fill it. Apparently, he's coming to be machmir over the Tanakam. The Gemara explain the machlekes. Mas Abishol ben Botnis. There was an incident involving Abishol ben Botnis, who was a great Talmud Chacham, as the Gemara says. He was also a grocer. Shayim Amali Midoisev Meir of Yom Tov. He would fill his measuring containers before Yom Tov to avoid measuring on Yom Tov. When his customers arrived on Yom Tov, he would simply pour them the oil out of his containers, which were pre-filled from before Yom Tov. Abashol Eimer Ab B'moyed Oisekein Mipnei Birurei Hamidais. Even throughout Chol HaMoed, when you may measure, he would still pre-measure before Yom Tov. He would pre-fill his containers. Mipnei Birurei Hamidais, to avoid shortchanging his customers on account of the bubbles of the foam which form when you pour the liquid into that container. So you pre-fill, let it settle, and then you can give them a full amount. You know what? Even during the weekdays, he would do the same. He would pre-fill before the customers come, so that the remnants would trickle out. You know, when you pour oil from a bottle, there's going to be some remnants sticking to the walls of the kli, and a customer won't get everything that he deserves, so in order to avoid that, they would overturn the kli into the customer's keli, and leave it like that, perhaps, overnight, so that everything trickles out, fully depletes, and fills the customer's kli as required. So getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Tanakhama says you can't fill a measuring container. Whereas the Buddha says, "Imhaya kli shel mida lo yimalenu." What was he coming to add to the Tanakhama? Says the one, "My avalei b'mida." What does the Tanakhama mean? You can approach the merchant and say, look, can I have a container full of oil? But you can't say b'mida, avaloi b'mida. What does this mean? Amar vida mashpol, avaloi b'kli hamyuchad l'mida. If this was a kli intended for mida, it was a measuring container, a measuring cup, intended for measuring, you can't have him fill that container on Yom Tov, because you're measuring. And it appears like mekech or memkar to us. Avo kli ha'imid l'mida. But suppose this container was only intended to be used as a backup in case the primary measuring cup breaks on you. So it was a backup clay mida. It was only oimid l'mida, intended for future mida use, but not yet incorporated into service. Yim malanu, he can fill that on Yom Tov. So that's the Tanakama Shita. A measuring cup which was currently being used as a measuring cup cannot be used, but if it's a measuring cup not yet introduced into service, then you treat it like any other container, you can fill it on Yom Tov. But it doesn't give that appearance, it doesn't give that impression like he's engaged in transactions. It's just a regular kli. Comes Rabbi Yehuda Meimer, and he adds to that, afilu kli ha'imed l'mida lo yimalen. Not only if it's a kli that's currently being used for measuring, even if it's a backup measuring cup, you can't use it as well. He's machmer. Even that gives the impression, gives the appearance of mekech or memkar. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel's pshat in the Mishnah. Tanakama only disallows a kli which is currently being used in the measuring capacity, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says even the reserve measuring cup cannot be used as well. Alma apparently says the Gemara, Gabe Simcha Siyantiv, in matters pertaining to Simcha Siyantiv, Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra, Rabbi Yehuda takes the chumra approach, Rabbanan l'kula, they take the kula approach. V'ifcha shamin l'hu, we find these two shitas going in opposite directions in yesterday's blot. This is not Rabbi Yehuda Aymer. Shekel adam vasa k'neged akli, k'neged akayfetz, although you're not meant to weigh on Yom Tov for the same reason, to keep in the spirit of Yom Tov, to keep away from anything that appears like commercial activities. So you cannot measure, you cannot weigh the basar, but you can do it k'neged akli, k'neged akayfetz. You can do it against a kli or k'neged akayfetz, a knife placed on the other side of the scale. It's an improvised method of weighing. It doesn't have that commercial ring to it. So Rabbi Yehuda is being makel when it comes to these matters, to allow Simchas Yom Tov. They hold, you shouldn't be engaged, you shouldn't be involved in using a scale at all. Keep away from a scale which rings of Mekach or Memkar Yom Tov. Apparently, they went the other way. Rabbi Yehuda l'kula, Rabbanan l'chumra. Rabbi Yehuda here is makel. It allows you to weigh against the kli and the kofet because it's not standard procedure. As long as you deviate somewhat from the way you do it normally, that's enough. It's enough to be machabed Yom Tov. Whereas Rabbanan say, keep away, keep two steps away from anything that looks, that gives the appearance of commercial activity. And that's just the opposite of our Mishnah, where we find the Tanakama is going lekula, and Rabbi Yehuda is machmer. Kasha, the Rabbi Yehuda. We seem to have a kasha from one Rabbi Yehuda on the other. Kasha, the Rabbanon, ad Rabbanon. We seem to have a kasha from one Rabbanon on the other. Answers the Gemara. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, kasha. Perhaps you can answer the stira between the two Rabbi Yehudas. There's a difference. Ha, some b'she'enu oimid l'mida. In the case of weighing it against the kli and the kofetz, it's not intended for it. It wasn't set aside for this purpose. It's an improvised, abnormal, unconventional way of doing it, and therefore, it doesn't give the appearance of commercial activity. Over here, although we're speaking about a reserve measuring cup, but it was still intended and reserved for this purpose, it's Oimid L'mida. And therefore, keep away. There's no difference between this kli and that. Perhaps you can answer this stira between two rabbonans. The difference between Hasam in the case where he's measuring against a kli, against a knife, it's still pretty similar to the way you measure during the weekdays. In fact, Rashi says, sometimes you can't find your standard weight, and you substitute it with a kli or a kofetz who have predetermined weight, you know their value, and use them as a weight. So it still rings of uvda d'chol, gives that appearance of weekday activity, as opposed to hocha over here, like avid k'da'avdin b'chol, you're not following weekday procedure, because this kli was sitting in the storage, was not yet known as a measuring cup, and therefore we don't treat it as such. Okay, so in summary, Rabbi Mishmuel says, there are bonon, don't allow measuring if it's a kli being used for measuring, but the backup kli is okay. Rabbi says even that one shouldn't be used. We thought we had a stira between our mission and the previous one, and we answered it. Rav Amar comes, Rav, and he says, I'll give you another pshat to our mission. He's actually being more makel. Tanakama says, don't fill a measuring cup. Approach the merchant, have him fill your container, as long as it's not a predetermined, preset measuring cup, a liter, 2 liters, don't do that, because that gives the appearance of mekech memker. And the mission continues. Malik l'ikliza avoloi b'mida. And what does that mean? My avoloi b'mida, shelo yizker lo yishem mida. As long as you don't mention it, that's okay. So you can actually fill a liter, you can fill a measuring cup or measure a container which has a predetermined measure in it, as long as you don't mention it, you don't express it. Shelo yizker lo yishem mida. As long as he doesn't tell, look, fill me a liter of oil in this kli. Fill me 2 liters. You don't do that. It's okay. Even though you're actually using the kli, if you don't verbalize it, you don't spell it out, it doesn't appear like a commercial activity. Avo kli ha'miyuchad l'mida yimalenu, but you can certainly use this kli, which was miyuchad l'mida, because you didn't express it. You didn't spell it out. It's not the way to do a transaction. Right? So if you don't mention anything, it's not considered mekech memkar, it's mutar on yamtiv. That's the Tanakama. So you can use the kli as long as you don't verbalize it. V'as Rabbi Yehuda le'meimer, comes Rabbi Yehuda and he adds a chumra. Kli yam yuchad l'mida, lo yim alenu. This kli is meant for measuring, don't use it. Although you didn't spell anything out. Everybody sees, it's a measuring cup being filled by the merchant in the process of making a sale. Says the Gemara, Alma gabe simchas yontiv. Apparently, in matters containing to simchas yontiv, Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra, Rabbanan l'kula, Rabbi Yehuda is machmer, Rabbanan amekel. Here comes the same stira again. V'ivcha shamin elu. Haven't we heard them going in opposite directions yesterday? That's none. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shoykel adam basar k'neged hakli, k'neged hakayfetz. When it comes to weighing, you can do it in an improvised, unconventional manner. You can weigh the basar on yontiv k'neged hakli, k'neged hakayfetz. As long as you deviate somewhat from the accepted method, keep away from scales. Here we find Rabbi Yehuda being mekel, Rabbanan machmer. Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda. We seem to have a stira between two Rabbi Yehudas. Kasha, Rabbanan. We seem to have a stira between two Rabbanans. Answers the Gemara. Very similar to the previous answer. Let's try to answer the kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. In that case where he was weighing against the kli or against the kofetz, it wasn't designated for this purpose. Therefore, it doesn't look like he's engaged in commercial activity. Over here by the measuring cup, it was miyuchad for measuring. Can't get away from it. And therefore, it's also despite the fact that you don't hear anything from him. He's not discussing it. He's not referring to it verbally, but the fact is you see it's a measuring cup. So that's the answer there. The Rabbona Namilu Kasha. We can answer the Rabbona as well. Ha, some ka'avit. Ka'avdim b'chel. A case where he's weighing, be it against the kli, against the kofetz, but he's still engaged in weighing. Can't get away from it. You see clearly that he's trying to weigh his basar on Yom Tov. As opposed to our case, when the grocer fills his kli with oil, it doesn't necessarily reflect weekday activity. The avdi inshi the makarvi, it's pretty common that people will offer the makarvi chamer, they'll offer some wine to their friend, bimana de kaila, into a measuring cup, b'shas and they'll drink. Doesn't necessarily reflect commercial activity. Sometimes you can just fill a measurement cup and drink it from there. So, unless you actually verbalize it as such, fill me the liter, let me have 2 liters of that wine or oil, it would be mutter on Yom Tov. So we had 2 versions of the Mishnah. We had Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, who learned that according to Tanna Kamma, you can't fill a measuring container, but the reserve container is okay, the one not actually being used, not introduced into service, is okay. Rabbi Yehuda extends the Chumrah to that as well. According to Rav's approach, Tanna Kamma says, as long as you don't mention volume, you're okay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a measuring cup, it's off limits. The Mishnah spoke about a mas, Babashov and Botnis, who would pre-fill containers before Yom Tov. Tana, af moed isekein. He would do this even on Chol HaMoed. You pay a bit of a medrash. What does this mean? It says Rashi, 12 lines on the bottom. Tanaf Moed Isakin. Play Bito Besamedush. What does it have to do with Bito Besamedush? Shaye Chacham Gadol. Uboim Rabim Lishal Himenu. He was a great Chacham who had lots of questions posed to him. Ube Moed, especially on Chol HaMoed, Rabim Oiskim B'Torah, which was a time where everybody was involved in Torah. Shayin Tudim B'Malach. They're not busy with Parnasa. Now, he was busy all throughout the Chol HaMoed day answering questions. So he couldn't properly take care of his customers. So he would fill it the night before. Which was not the time of learning. This way, he was available during the day. Now, Rashi brings that there was another Gersa, which we actually have back in the Mishnah, that the pshat was mipnei biruri hamidos. So Rashi will address that girs. Laman de girs masnisin. Mipnei biruri hamidos refar shachi. So how does it work with our Gemara that relates to bito besamedrash? So Rashi said the 2 things are connected. Mipnei bito besamedrash shol boi moed. Since there were so many people coming to him on Chol HaMoed, lo yeh ponoi lishos lavarer midosav shelo yarsichu. He was concerned about the bubbling and the foam. So since he didn't have enough time to pour his liquids slowly and have the liquid settle before giving it to the customer to make sure he gets the full amount that he asked for, so he would pre-fill the night before. This way everything was settled and ready for sale the next day. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabban, who kines? This is back to Abishov and Batnis. Who kines? Shloish meyos garbe yayin mi biruri hamidis. After a while, he accumulated, he collected 300 containers worth of wine, which were collected from the biruri hamidis. So biruri are the ones that we just mentioned, the foam, the bubbling. So despite his extensive efforts to avoid shortchanging his customers, trying to make sure to have everything settled and filled to the brim. Bottom line is he wasn't 100% successful. And according to his calculations, he ended up with this huge amount of oil, of wine, which didn't really belong to him. Rashi explains like this. Let's say you had a customer coming to purchase a liter of wine. Now he had pre-filled liters filled with wine. He poured into the customer's kli. He tried to avoid bubbling and all that. But ultimately, he did have a little left over, meaning he ended up giving him less than a liter because of the bubbling and the biruri hamidais. So after a while, all that excess accumulated. He ended up with 300 garbi yayin, which didn't really belong to him. So that was him. V'chaver of kinsu, and his fellow merchants, were also honest people, they came up with shloish meyos garbi shemen, 300 containers filled with oil, mi mitzvah amidis. We had mitzvah amidis in the mission. That was the oil substance stuck to the containers. So after filling the customer's container, the merchant still had some left behind in his container. And after a while, that added up to a huge amount, 300 containers, which they felt didn't really belong to them, belonged to the customers. So what are they going to do with it? They figured, let's donate it to the Beis HaMikdash. They presented it to the managers of the Hegdash in Yerushalayim. Amar lahem, now the Chacham turned to the merchants and he says, what are you doing? Iyatam skukim lakach. Really? You're not obligated to return this amount. You're not obligated to give it away. Why? Ashi says, you never had a mind to steal, to be dishonest. You tried your best, and you know what? The customers are really meichel. They know this is the way things work. So keep it in good health. Amalem, the merchants responded, no. Af onu ein ritzinenu b'kach. You know what? We don't want to take something that doesn't belong to us. We don't want to take from others. We're satisfied with what Hashem gives us. We don't want to hold on to this. Amar lahem, Chacham responded, Hoyel v'chmartem al atzmechem. Okay, now that you want to be machmer, very commendable. But instead of giving it to the Beis HaMikdash, asu mehem tzorchei rab. You know what? Apply it to public works, which can benefit a broader community. The sanya, gozel v'nidel migozel. Suppose a person stole from many people, he lost track of his victims. What should he do now? He wants to do tshuva. Rabim, says the Braisa, solution is apply to Tzorchei Rabim, something that benefit the general community. And there are two pshatim. Rashi says that the Balaam, his victim, will have ana. Eventually he'll enjoy what you did. You build a nice road, you dig a nice well, somehow he'll get back to your victim. I once heard another pshat, a nice pshat, that the public is an entity called the public. So when you give back to the public, every yid has a part, is a member of that rabbi, a member of that public entity. And therefore you have really returned to your victim. So even though perhaps he won't actually benefit from what you did, but he got something back from you because you donated it to the rabbi, and he's part of the rabbi. In any case, that's what you should do. My ninu. What exactly is this Tzorchei Rabim or Rav Chisda? I'll give you an example. Boyrois, dig wells, shichen, ditches, or maoris, caves. Adberei Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda decided to take a walk to Ravana Ukva. He took Ravana Ukva for a walk throughout the city with Dorash, and he started telling him halachos. Yantav related halachos. Lo yimdoid adam soirim. A person should refrain from measuring even barley, which he liked to feed his animal. He shouldn't measure the barley and feed his animal. Rashi says, even though his kavana is simply to feed his animal, but it appears like he's measuring in order to sell. It has that commercial appearance, and we keep away from that on Yom Tov. But he can dig out. So he has a pile of barley. He can take a measuring cup, a kav, and use it as a sort of a shovel to scoop out some animal feed and feed the animal. Without concern, because he's not doing it in a way where it appears like he's trying to measure it. Just using the measuring cup as a scoop, that's okay. What about a fellow who's cooking on Yom Tov? He has to follow the recipe. He can. He can measure some seasoning for his kedera, lest he put too much in there and his tafshil will burn up, get too spicy. So recipe which calls for exact amounts of spices, etc., can be measured beforehand. Likewise, moidedes isha kemach b'yomtiv. An isha can measure her flour in yomtiv, which she's going to place into her dough, kedesha titol chala b'yomtiv, to enable her to separate the challah portion going to the kohen generously. So now she knows that her batter has 50 pounds of flour. She'll be generous when she comes to separate the challah. Whereas if you don't allow it to weigh, she might downgrade the amount. She'll say, well, there's only 30, 40, and she'll skip on the challah. So in order to allow this generous mitzvah, we allow her to actually be moided, to measure up the flour. It seems from the Gemara that otherwise it would be also, because bread doesn't need an exact amount of flour. It can be a little more, a little off. So it's different than the seasoning, where you have to be very careful. According to Shmuel, even when it comes to measuring this flour to enable the mitzvah b'ayinafa, we don't allow it, it's asu. And the first one point out that bizman hazeh, where the challah doesn't go to the kain, we anyways burn it, so this halacha doesn't really apply. In any case, Shmuel didn't allow it to begin with. Really? V'atana d'vei Shmuel mutu, we have a brisa in the name of Shmuel. Rashi says, in the yeshiva of Shmuel, they had a brises, and in one of those brises, we see that it's mutter to measure flour in this context. Omra Abaye. Now we have a problem of a stira. Shmuel himself said it's asr. And the brise, we see it's mutter. Apparently Shmuel, when he said asr, halacha l'maaseh asr l'shminah, even though theoretically he would hold that it's mutter, but halacha l'maaseh, in response to a petitioner, he would say it's asr, because, as we learned the other day, halacha ve'imayrin kein, this is a concept in Shas, sometimes the halacha is makel, we're concerned about creating confusion, and perhaps a person taking that heter and extending it further in a non-essential setting. So, halacha l'maaseh, a person comes to ask you, you tell him it's asr. Turn it upon. Ein shoinin kemach b'yamtiv. What about double sifting flour, meaning pre-sifted flour? Can you re-sift it on yamtiv? You can't do that. Now, one thing has to be pointed out here. Malachis are mutav v'ichal nefesh, but we do have exceptions. This is another exception. Sifting flour. Why? Rishayim explain. Something which you can do before Yom Tov doesn't have the heter. Something which is generally done with large quantities, such as sifting, which perhaps would give the appearance like he's simply processing this flour for long-term use. So that cannot be done on Yom Tov, despite the fact that it's a malacha v'arichal nefesh. So just picking some psoilus out of your food in preparation for your meal, that's a small-time bayer, that's mutter. But to actually sift flour, which is an activity that can involve large quantities and be done for long-term storage, that's asr on Yom Tov. The chiddush here is that even if it was pre-sifted flour, he's just trying to enhance and improve the quality a bit. That's also included in the isra of sifting. It cannot be done on Yom Tov. That's the Tanna Kamma. However, Mishum Rabbi Pafyas, Rabbi Dibn Mesera Amru, these two Amirayim were quoted as saying, Shoinen, you may go ahead and double sift your flour on Yom Tov. It's not really called sifting, and not included in that restriction, says Rashi on top. Ein Shoinen Kemach. So Kemach, which was Shirag Duma Etma, which has been sifted yesterday, Ubala Shanaiser Benafa, he's trying to re-sift it just to enhance it. You can't do that. You could have done it yesterday. The other ones hold no shinin. They're like a tircha. It's something which involves minimal amount of effort. Everybody sees. Shazu hi pam shni. It's the second time around. I'll see. Look, there's not much chaff remaining in the sifter. So it has nothing to do with sifting. It's just a slight enhancement. It's not considered sifting, which is us. Continues the brisa, v'shaven, three lines from the top, v'shaven. Now all agree that in the following case it would be mutter. Shimnaf al chsoichan tsroyer a kisam. Let's say on yantav a pebble or a kisam, a little wood splinter falls into your flour. Shishoyin. In this case, certainly you can resift it to remove that item, because it isn't something you could have done yesterday. So you can go take a quick sift to remove the impurity. There was a chacham who presented the following brisa to Ravina. Ein shoinin kemach b'yamtiv. You may not re-sift that flour. Aval nafal tzreir ekesem. But if you happen to find a tzreir ekesem that fell into your flour today, boirer b'yodai, he must remove that pebble manually. So you can't actually sift it again. Just pick it out with your hands. Amalei, Ravina responded, this can't be. Koshkin de aser. If anything, this is worse. It's a visible burr by actually picking out the pebble. So if anything, this should be asr, and sifting should be mutter, because it doesn't It doesn't really give the appearance of a bird, just giving a quick sift, rather than actually picking out the pebble. The Mefarshim explained that Ravina held both are mutter. Resifting pre-sifted flour is mutter, pulling out its tzroir is mutter. He was simply responding. He says, look, you're telling me pulling out the pebble is better than sifting. If anything, the other way around. Sifting is a more subdued manner of doing the removal than actually picking out the pebble. Dorosh Rova Barav Huna Zuti, that was his name, so he declared as follows. He taught Apischa at the city entrance of Dinardo, and he said like this, Shoinin Kemach B'Yomtev, Yolaru, resift pre-sifted flour on Yomtev. You're not doing anything. Amul Rav Nachman, Nachman turned to the people, he said, Pukav Amrle, go tell him, La'aba, Abba was a respectful way of relating, of calling Rava, go tell him, Shekilu Tivusach, what's the favor you're doing for? What's the chiddush here? You're allowed to receive flour? Shekilu Tivusach, your favor is taken of Shadei Achizri and tossed upon the thorns. Basically, you're not benefiting us much. We all know this already. Pukhazei, go out and take a look. Kama Mahulta. How many women sifters, Hadr B'Nardo, are making their rounds throughout this town of Nardo on Yom Tov? To re-sift pre-sifted flour, it's a commonly known halacha. Thank you very much. However, we find the following Gemara that some were machmer somewhat when re-sifting flour. Tvisod Rav Yosef, for instance, Rav Yosef's wife, Nahala Kimcha, she would re-sift flour on Yom Tov, Agaba the Mehulta on the back, over the back of the sifter, in which case it doesn't do such an effective job, some flour falls over the sides. This was a Derech Shinoi, she was machmer. It shouldn't appear like the conventional way of sifting. Amalah, Rabbi Yosef turned to her and he says, what are you doing? Chazi, listen, take a look. Da'ana, I, Rifte Malyasa Beina, I'd like to have high quality, pure bread. There's no need to be machmer, don't turn the sifter back over and sift it properly. Divisa de Rav Ashi. Likewise, Rav Ashi's wife, Nahala Kimcha, she sifted her flour, Agaba de Ptera, over the back of a table. So they overturned the table, and there was a mukam where the flour would accumulate. So this was again a derech shinui in order to keep with the yomtiv spirit. Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi didn't protest. He says, out of respect for her, Hadi Dan, this woman, my wife, Barti de Rav Barchama, she's the daughter of Rav Barchama, and my father was a very chasher person, Rav Barchama, Morodub Da'ava. He was a person who was very medactic in his masim. He was a master over his actions. You know, it's similar to the Gemara, uses the word Baal Nefesh. Baal Nefesh, he's a master over his desires, over his nefesh. In any case, he was very meticulous with halacha. V'ilav d'chazio b'noshon. Now the fact that my wife noticed this type of behavior back at home, certainly she would not have been doing this, and let's rely on what she's doing. Apparently, it's sourced in good places. So we have a shita that allows double sifting, a shita that disallows, and we find that some were machmer to do it derech shinoi. On Yom Tov, a person could approach his friendly grocer and say, look, I need some eggs. Can you please give me some eggs or some walnuts? I need 10, 20. So you can mention a number. There's no concern about mentioning numbers. It doesn't have that commercial ring to it. Why? Shekein derech balabayis. Liyis mayim b'zeich beisai. Every homeowner will refer to numbers. I can have a dozen eggs, six nuts. Numbers don't indicate commercial activity. The Brayso will provide some more examples. Turn it up on. A person can approach his friendly shepherd, his animal breeder. Can I have a goat, a telechad, or a lamb? Can go to the butcher, his regular butcher, and say, kaf. Some say kasef. Give me a shoulder slab, achas, or yorach achas, or a hind leg. It's a patam rogel etzlo. You can go to the bird, the fellow that raises the stuffs, the geese, the birds, and say, look, v'emulei tainli toir echad, because lech can have a bird, it's a nachtem. You can go over to the baker on yantav harogel etzlo. V'emulei tainli kikur echad, achas, can I have a loaf, can I have a role. Otu his grocer and say, can I please have some 20 eggs, or 50 nuts? Asara farsakin, 10 of these fruit, v'chamisha remoinim, 5 pomegranates, v'esrog echot. That's allowed. Ubavad, shalo yaskulis chomida, as long as it doesn't discuss volume, a kav, 2 kav, he keeps away from specifics, that's okay. Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer, another restriction, ubavad, shalo yaskulis chomekach, as long as it doesn't speak value or prices. Hadron lach einsa. So what did we learn today? Okay, you're running short on Yom Tov, you have to resupply. What could you do? Yes, you can approach a merchant and get resupplied, provided you don't discuss price or value. You don't discuss measurements. You can discuss portions. You can discuss numbers. What about filling a clay midah, a measuring cup on Yom Tov? What about Chlegis, Tanakhama, Rav Yehuda? According to the first approach in the Gemara, if it's a measuring cup which is currently being used in that capacity, it's awesome. What if it's a reserve measuring container, not yet introduced into service? Tanakhama says it's mutter. Rida says it's awesome. According to approach 2 in the Gemara, the machlokes was as follows. Tanakhama says, you can't fill a clay mida if you mention the mida. If you don't mention it, you're allowed to use it. Rida says, either way, it's awesome. We had the incident involving these honest grocers who accumulated materials which they felt were not rightfully theirs. They were advised to apply to Tzarchi Rav. Measuring seasoning is mutter. Measuring kemach to benefit the mitzvah chal is mutter as well, but we don't publicize the heter. Resifting pre-sifted flour, machloikis, and some would do it derech shinai, removal of a pebble or a kesem from your flour, certainly mutter, even outright. Purchasing, included with purchasing, b'minyan using numbers is mutter. Hadron loch ein sadin. Kol tov to you and much hatzlacha.